Here's Nancy Lee DeMoss with amazing news.
So our debt was paid as the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, gave his life at Calvary. And those who trust in Christ, not themselves, not their religious works, not their efforts, not their penance, not their confession, but those who trust in Christ as their guilt bearer, their substitute, are pronounced debt free. Debt free before a holy God. The debt is written off. It's forgiven.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Monday, November 12th. You can be totally free from debt, guilt, and condemnation. Nancy will explain, continuing in a series called The Lord's Prayer, Part 3.
I had a conversation not too long ago with a friend who was sharing how often he struggles to receive God's forgiveness. And he's a big guy, and while we were talking about this, his eyes started welling up with tears. And he said, you know, so often I confess the same thing over and over again, and then I keep going back, and I get to the point where I'm just ashamed to ask God to forgive me again. And he had really been wrestling with this, and so he shared it with another friend, another man, who said to him, when your son comes and asks you for forgiveness, do you forgive him? And my friend said, he's a dad, and he said, of course, if my son wants to be forgiven, I will forgive him. And then the person who was talking to my friend said, if you as a dad, an imperfect human dad, would forgive your son, how much more do you think that your heavenly Father is willing to forgive you? And it was an aha moment for my friend, because he's a dad. He understands something of a dad's heart. And as we're talking about this issue of forgiveness and our sins being forgiven, it's important that we remember the context of the Lord's Prayer starts out by saying, Our Father. So as we ask for forgiveness, as we say, forgive us our debts, who are we asking? Our Father. We're going to a Father. And I think that so many of us, as we deal with sin, we do have these moments where we feel like, how could I ever go back and ask God again to forgive me for that same sin or for that sin that was so huge? I just can't imagine going to Him. Remember that our plea for forgiveness is in the context of a family relationship, a Father who loves His children, a Father who has made it possible for us through the death of Christ to be His children. And to be in a family relationship and a Father who delights to extend mercy and forgiveness. Now, we've been looking at this request, forgive us our debts. And we said that some people tend to minimize sin, think it's not that bad or I'm not that bad, and basically to think of ourselves as good people. Now, if we were comparing ourselves to God, we could never come to that conclusion. But we tend to compare ourselves to other people, and by comparison with, murderers, we're pretty good. The tendency to minimize our sin, to think it's not that serious. And then the other tendency that some have is to minimize the grace of God. To say, my sin is so great, I am such a sinner that God could not forgive me. I want to just remind us today that the solution for both of those wrong perspectives is found at the cross. It's when we look at the cross that we have a hard time taking sin lightly. When we realize what my sin, not someone else's sin, but what my sin cost God, what it cost Christ, then we realize it's no little deal. It is a big deal. It is a huge deal. It required the shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God, Christ, the sinless Lamb of God. The cross shows us in the starkest possible terms what God thinks, not just about somebody else's sin, but about our sin. It reveals the incredible cost that He paid to redeem us from those weaknesses that we trivialize in our minds, or those things we just gloss over, or those things we don't think we need to mention when we're confessing our sins. As we pray, forgive us our debts, we're acknowledging in the light of the cross that those debts are serious debts, that we are great offenders against God. The cross shows us that. But the cross also speaks to those who tend to minimize the grace of God. It shows in brilliant technicolor the love and the mercy of God for even the chief of sinners. When I was young, we used to sing a gospel song in church. If you've been around the church for a while, it'll be familiar to you. But I remember those words. They're so rich. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not that my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. By God's word, at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. What did I find at Calvary? We used to sing that chorus. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found what? Liberty. And where? At Calvary. At Calvary. And then there's that great hymn, Hallelujah, What a Savior. And I remember that stanza, guilty, vile, and helpless we. Spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement. Can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. It's the cross that shows us, magnified, the grace, the love, the mercy of God for sinners. The gospel, the good news, is that Christ died to pay for my sin. No matter what the sin. Big sins, little sins. And I put little in quote because, as we've seen, there is no such thing as a little sin. Sins of omission, sins of commission. Sins so, quote, small that we don't feel like they need his forgiveness. And we're reminded that there is no sin that small. And then sins so great, in quotes, that we think, how could he ever forgive that sin? Sometimes I hear women say, as a woman said to me after a conference just recently, and with emotion in her face and her eyes and her voice, she said, I just can't forgive myself. Now, when people say that, I think what they're really meaning to say is, I've committed such a great sin, and I think I've heard most all of it. I abandoned my children. I abused my children. I destroyed my marriage, a woman said to me recently. I don't hear that real often, but a woman whose husband had just left her, I said, what's the root issue in your marriage? She said, I am a controller, and I destroyed my marriage. Great sin. She was feeling the weight of that sin. I was unfaithful to my husband. I killed my preborn baby. I mean, some of these things can just eat people alive for years and years. And they go on with their business. They go on with their work. They go on with life. But the weight, the burden of the guilt is so great. And what they're saying when they say, I can't forgive myself, I think what they're really saying is, I've committed a sin that seems so great in my eyes that I can't really believe that God could forgive me. I can't believe that I could be forgiven. I don't feel forgiven. I'm still carrying that load, that weight of guilt and shame for what I've done. Well, speaking of people carrying a load of great sin, think about the Apostle Paul, who considered himself the greatest sinner of all time. Now, we think of Paul in his redeemed state and we say, oh, how could he think that? But when you think about how he tried and nearly succeeded to wipe out the entire church of Jesus Christ, you can imagine why he went to his death thinking, I am the chief of sinners. Humanly speaking, Paul had the authority and the means to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. And he said, I am a great, great sinner. He's a man who went to the cross and found the abounding mercy and love and pardon of Jesus Christ there. There's a man who has listened to Revive Our Hearts for a number of years, who is serving multiple life sentences without possibility of parole in one of the highest security prisons in the country. He's guilty of committing one of the most heinous crimes in the history of the United States. And here's a man who will never see light of day. I don't know the condition of his heart, but I know he's been listening to Revive Our Hearts, and I know God has been speaking to that man's heart. I think of the Apostle Paul. I think of that man. Can these be forgiven? Completely? Totally? Can you be forgiven for that thing in your past, in your present, that seems so heavy, it weighs so heavy on you. Let me tell you a story about a man who lived in the era of John Newton. John Newton, who was the former slave trader who wrote, was converted and then wrote Amazing Grace. One of his friends was a man named William Cooper. And not too long ago, I had a chance to visit in England, the place where Cooper lived and the church where Newton preached. And Cooper was a gifted and prolific British writer and poet. He was a close friend of John Newton. And throughout his lifetime, Cooper struggled with recurring bouts of severe depression and mental and emotional instability. At one point, in a fit of anxiety and near madness, he attempted to take his own life. First, he intended to throw himself in a river. Then he decided he would take a lethal dose of opium and then tried to fall on a knife. He couldn't succeed at any of these. And so finally, he decided to hang himself. And then the garter with which he hung himself broke and he fell unconscious to the floor before finally being rescued. I came across an article that was published some years after Cooper's death that described the excruciating remorse and anguish that Cooper experienced after his suicide attempt. It said he felt for himself a contempt not to be expressed or imagined. He felt as if he had offended God so deeply that his guilt could never be forgiven, and his whole heart was filled with tumultuous pangs of despair. Perhaps some in this room who can relate to those deep, intense feelings of conviction. How could I have done this, and how could I ever be forgiven? It wasn't until after he recovered physically from the ordeal that Cooper came to realize that no sin can create a stain too great for God to erase. And out of that torturous experience, he was moved to write those words that have pointed millions of guilt-ridden sinners to the cross ever since. The cross that is the only source of true relief and release, no matter what our sin. Do you know the hymn I'm talking about? There's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. How many? All. They are sinners, but they're plunged beneath the flood, the flow of Christ's blood, and they lose all their guilty stains. He went on to say, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain, the blood of Christ, being shed in his day. That dying thief who was a convicted criminal, and there may I, where? At the cross. There may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Where did the Apostle Paul find forgiveness, release, relief from his guilt for trying to exterminate the Church of Jesus Christ? At the cross of Christ. Where can that man sitting in prison, serving those multiple life sentences, where can he find relief, freedom, forgiveness for his sins? At the cross of Jesus Christ. Where did Cooper find relief, release, pardon, forgiveness for his sins? At the cross of Jesus Christ. And where can you find relief, pardon, release from your sins? Whatever's on your list, where can you find pardon? At the cross of Jesus Christ. Fully forgiven. Cooper said, they lose all their guilty stains. I can wash all my sins away. Fully forgiven. Is that your experience? Let me just remind us that God could not just write off our debt and be just. The debt had to be paid. He could have held out eternally for payment, and he would have been just in doing so. Instead, God devised a plan so the debt could be paid and we could be reconciled to him. And how did he do it? He sent to earth his holy Son, who had no debt of his own, to assume our debt. Our debt, all that we owed, was transferred to him. As those Old Testament worshipers we talked about in an earlier session, as they placed their hands on the heads of those sacrificial lambs and transferred their guilt to those innocent substitutes, so our debt was paid as the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, gave his life at Calvary. And those who trust in Christ, not themselves, not their religious works, not their efforts, not their penance, not their confession, but those who trust in Christ as their guilt bearer, their substitute, are pronounced debt-free. Debt-free before a holy God. The debt is written off. It's forgiven. I want to just remind us, and I know I'm belaboring this in this series, because I think it's something that we don't hear often enough. We just gloss over it. We forget how crucial the cross and the blood of Christ are to our having a right relationship with God. I want to remind us that Christ's sacrifice at Calvary is sufficient to forgive every sin that has ever been committed, even yours. Forgiveness is not something you can give yourself. In fact, nowhere in the Bible do you find that concept of forgiving ourselves. God is the only one who can forgive sins, and forgiveness is something He has purchased for you, and He offers it to you as a gift. So receive it. Receive it by faith. You know, some of us would rather work and strive and struggle and do something to earn our forgiveness than just by faith to accept that we don't deserve it. But God offers it. And we say, yes, I will take it. I will receive it. I will receive God's forgiveness. Listen, if God says, I have cleared your debt, I have forgiven your sins, the payment has been paid, the debt has been paid, it's been written off, you can go free. Who are we to say, I don't know if I can be forgiven? I can't forgive myself. I'm saying God can forgive me, but I can't. I mean, really, if you think about it, we put ourselves in the place of God when we say that. God has said, I can, I will forgive. I want to forgive. I'm abundant in mercy. I want to pardon. Will you receive it by faith? You know why it's hard? Because there's nothing we can do. There's no way we can earn it. There's nothing we can do to strive for it. It takes faith to say, I will accept what Christ has done as sufficient payment for my sin. And every time we sin as children of God, we've got to get back to the cross, back to Christ. I find, you know, as a four-year-old child, I first trusted Christ as my Savior, and I didn't know enough theology to fill a thimble full probably at that point, but I just knew the simplest understanding of the gospel, and it was enough to save me. I knew I couldn't save myself. I knew Jesus could. I knew He had died for my sin. And I just simply, as a child, placed my faith in Jesus Christ, May the 14th, 1963. But I'll tell you, a lot of the struggle for me has been since, as I sin and I want to somehow prove myself to God, somehow do something to earn His favor again. If you want to be forgiven, you can only find it at the cross. We look back to the cross and we say, thank you that the penalty has been paid. Christ died in my place. Plenteous grace with thee is found. Grace to pardon all my sin, Charles Wesley said. How much is plenteous grace? Do you think it's enough? It sounds to me like it's more than enough. Plenteous grace with thee is found. Grace to pardon all my sin. But I want to say that in order to appropriate that grace of God, we've got to be honest with God. We have to be willing to come and acknowledge that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. And that brings us back to the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts. We're saying, I am a sinner in need of forgiveness. God will forgive all my sin, but I've got to acknowledge that it is sin. It's not, God, just please, you know, help me to do better. Please help me not to have so many weaknesses. Help me to be a better Christian. Have you sinned? Then confess it as sin. Lord, I am a guilty sinner. Here's what I have done. Here's why I deserve to die for my sin. Here's why I deserve to be shut off and cut off from your presence. I acknowledge I am sinful. I acknowledge I am a guilty sinner. Come into the light. Don't stay in the darkness. Don't try to cover it or excuse it or blame it or defend it or rationalize it, or it's not so big. Step out into the light. Acknowledge it for what it is. Be willing to confess and forsake that sin. And then we have that wonderful promise from Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Mercy. Mercy means you don't deserve it. How do you get mercy? You confess your sin. What does it mean to confess? To agree with God, I have sinned. Here's what I did. Confess it. Say it. Bring it into the light. God knows it, but you need to confess it to Him. Honestly, humbly. Confess it. Lord, I did this. I lied. I stole. I was jealous. I was selfish. I was proud. I mouthed off. I violated my conscience. I didn't have self-control. Yes, I spoke harshly to that person, or I treated my child this way, or I didn't respect my husband in the way I said that. Be honest. Call it sin. Confess it, and then forsake it. And how do you forsake it? By the grace of God. He who confesses and forsakes his sins will obtain mercy.
Nancy Lee DeMoss will be right back to pray. She's been talking about the most important issue in life. All of us need to stop and remember the great news of the gospel, whether we've heard it 100 times or for the first time. If you want to grow in your understanding of sin, repentance, forgiveness, and freedom, I hope you'll get a copy of this teaching on CD. The series is called The Lord's Prayer, and we presented it in 3 installments on the air. You can order our current installment or the entire series on CD. This series would be a great topic for your personal Bible study time. Listen to the CDs, study along with Nancy, and then pray based on what you heard. To order the Lord's Prayer, visit reviveourhearts.com. You can also call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. If you're busy or on the road, it might be hard to catch the information I just gave you. One way to make sure you don't miss anything on Revive Our Hearts is to sign up for the Revive Our Hearts Daily Connection. It's an email that accompanies the topic of each day's program. You'll get highlights from Nancy's teaching in the key quotes section of the email, and you'll also find out about the special offers I usually tell you about. You can use the quick links to find out more about the teaching or the special offers. To sign up for the Revive Our Hearts Daily Connection, visit reviveourhearts.com. Well, what if God were to forgive you the same way you forgive everyone else? Does that thought make you nervous? Discover the power of forgiveness tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Now let's join Nancy to wrap up the program.
Would you pray with me? Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. And Father, how we thank you for Calvary. How we thank you for the cross. How we thank you for Jesus. How we thank you for the blood that was shed for our sins. For pardon. For peace, for reconciliation, for atonement, for redemption, for forgiveness, full and free. Oh, Father, I pray that the message of the cross, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ would grip our hearts, would ravish our hearts, that we'd be stunned, we'd be astonished, we'd be overjoyed, we'd be overcome with the wonder of what Christ has done for us, and that guilty sinners, as we all are, would find relief and release and freedom and pardon at the cross of Christ this day. Oh God, our Father, forgive us our debts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.